the Edge with April Mahoney Brains. Here, this is the place where the conversation is pointed, the guests are sharp, and the responses are never dull. Welcome home, Brains.
Coming to you straight from San Diego, California, let's welcome our host, April Mahoney.
Welcome back to On the Edge with April Mahoney Brains. Here, this is the place where the conversation is pointed, the guests are sharp, and the responses are never dull. I get so excited every time I hear that intro. I just get the bouncing in my seat because I know I'm about to connect with you. Do you know any females that are kind of nerdy, kind of geeky in the tech space? Well, I brought you one. Nancy Lucchese. She's going to kill me because I could never get it right. I don't know why. But she's also known as the App Mama. She is a major player in the technology space. Nancy has founded Unleash Mobile Apps with a global appeal. Her goal is to help small business owners bring their vision to life. Small businesses can compete with big guys as long as they have the right tools. That's where Unleash Mobile Apps comes into place. Now, I don't use apps. I don't download them on my phone, so this is going to be a great education for me. I love technology. I've been in the technology industry for a long time, but I've never really worked with a female that has been at the forefront and on the cutting edge. Brains, help me welcome our guest, Nancy Lucchese. Say it again, Mama.
Lucchese.
Lucchese. All right. I'm going to send you a prize just because I keep getting it wrong.
Hey, I'm good with it. Now you know why they call me the App Mama.
The
it's
App
easier
Mama.
To remember.
Because you are absolutely fabulous. Thank you so much for your patience with that.
Absolutely.
So tell my brains a little bit about you, Nancy.
Oh, my gosh. Okay. So, hello, brains. It is great to be here. Thank you so much. I really, really appreciate your time today. And, you know, I'm a upper middle-aged woman who gets geeky and can translate it into English. In fact, the tag App Mama was given to me by a good friend of mine who said that people can always relate to you, whether they're kids or if they're grown adults. So that's kind of in a nutshell where the App Mama came along.
I like that. I think that's really cute. Have you always been in technology? Has this that's always been your career? Have you always liked, you know, science and math and figuring out puzzles? Because that's what technology is.
You know, and it's funny because I have not, but yet I always was on the cutting edge of things. And what's funny is because I will talk in front of groups of students and I will say, yeah, when I grew up, I wanted to be an app developer. You know what? They didn't even have technology what it is today when I was growing up. And when I first started my career, I was actually a X-ray tech, a radiographer.
Oh, wow.
And I kind of got known as the cardiac kid because I used to travel all over the United States. And I worked for General Electric Medical Systems, teaching people how to use the systems that they bought, the cardiac systems. And that developed into CTs, and I was actually part of the MRI evolution.
Wow.
Our engineers would come to us as techs and say, okay, what do you want to see? And so right when MRIs were first starting to roll out, that's where I was. And so I've always been part of the cutting edge. I left that because the travel got to be a bit much. It was Monday through Friday, you know, constantly going 360 days a year. It was nuts. But I was young and single and loved it. So
right.
It was time to settle down. So I went into the insurance industry. And even there, I was always part of the technology rollout, we've got a new computer, et cetera. Because even when I first started that, quotes were done by hand. Now you can get a quote in 10 minutes yourself online. It's just amazing how much it's evolved and where it's gone to. So I was in the insurance industry for several years, and yet I felt like I was still working for a corporation, and there was this piece of me that wanted to be that entrepreneur. I knew I had something to give. So
right.
I kind of ventured off and met up with a, it turned out to be an older friend of mine from high school. We started working together and we figured that out afterwards when we were just like, why do I know you kind of thing. And he and I started working on mobile apps and he went a different direction and I took it over.
Well, that's incredible. So how did that feel, being a woman in a mostly dominated male industry? Because, again, you know, they think that they're the ones with the big brain. But we know the truth. How did that feel?
You know, it's empowering. And it's really funny because I will quote one of my favorite movies, which is My Big Fat Greek Wedding, where the mother says, the men might be the head, but the women are the neck, and we control what's out there. And we are in control. And it was very empowering to be part of this. And the guys accepted me, but even more so, the women business owners that I deal with, they love it because I'm on the same playing field as they are. They get it. So, yeah, I don't try to act like a man in a man's world. I'm a woman in a business world. And
I appreciate
what
I am. I feel that because so many women want to wear the pinstripe suit and sit up straight and talk with a deep voice. They don't want to be feminine. They don't want to let that show. They don't want their vulnerability. You know, that adds a lot of value. It can take a lot of hot air out of the room when you're with a bunch of combative people. You have some challenges talking about combative individuals, and you are a victim of domestic violence. How did that play in your head, being subjected to that and then turning around and being such a power player in your career?
You know, it's funny because I tolerated it for 21 years. And I look back at it now, and people are like, how could you have done that? And I often tell them, I normalize the abnormal and the things that were there. And you talk about the pinstripe suit. That's where I was at GE, and that's where I was in the insurance industry. And looking back now, I was trying to be somebody I wasn't. And the same thing in the domestic violence. And it was just building slowly. It was actually what they call a trauma bond. And what a trauma bond is where you are actually in a domestic controlling situation where the other party, through a reward and punishment system, are actually trying to normalize the abnormal. And my ex-husband was very narcissistic, still is, a drug addict, and all of these other things, and serious addictions, and he tried to make me out to be the bad guy because I wouldn't sit there and get loaded every night with him. And that just, it didn't sit well. So when the universe broke, was able to pull me out of that situation, I couldn't do it anymore, pulled me out of that situation, put me in a place where it was a safe environment. I started going to therapy couple times a week. I mean, I was suffering from PTSD because of this. Through a technique my therapist used, which is EMDR, and I can't stress that enough. EMDR, if you don't know what it is, Google it, check it. You'll be surprised how this technique will be a whole new person. And now, rolling the clock ahead, as I went through all of that, and I struggled, and I mean, I wouldn't, I moved into my brother's basement afterwards, and I wouldn't come out of the basement.
Wow.
I mean, they had to pull me out of there, and slowly through good friends. And one day I was having lunch with a really good friend of mine who is still a quality friend of mine today. And she looked at me and she goes, it's nice to have you back. And I was like, well, what do you mean? She goes, no, the you I knew back when we were 14.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So That's my situation. And anybody who thinks they're questioning whether they have it, Google trauma bond and Google EMDR. Those are my two domestic violence personal recommendations. You'll thank yourself.
So you pulled yourself up out of the basement, girl, to create mobile apps.
Mm-hmm.
Now, let's start with
mm-hmm.
that. What is a mobile application? Define that.
Oh, I'm I'm so glad that you asked. Okay, so I want to compare three things here. I want to explain what social media is, what a website is, and what a mobile app, because they kind of go together. People, when they are on social media, that's where people get to know who you are. They put you on the radar. You are now a business, you've opened it up, et cetera. And your goal for that is to drive people over to your website. And what your website does is it gives people more information about exactly who you are and what products do you offer, what services do you offer, or what is your business all about. And it gives all the testimonials and the kudos and all that fantastic thing. But a mobile app is where people go to do business with you. Mm. That's where they can buy their, you know, the different items that they want. They can contact you. They can see where your events are. You can have a loyalty program with it. It's a place to do business. Think about your own habits. And whenever I give this statistic, people get like blown away. The average person uses a minimum of 9 apps a day.
Wow.
And when I say this to people, they go, ah, no way. Then they start counting. And oh my gosh, they're on a social media app, their email app, Amazon, whether or not they're looking at the weather, they go into the app store to download like a Fitbit or a Sweatcoin or some type of a physical fitness app. They look at the news from there. Then ask yourself, how often do you go to a mobile website versus a mobile app? And you don't. 88% of the smartphone users will only use an app over a website.
Wow. Okay, so those are great statistics. So there's some fees that are associated with some apps, and then other apps are free. What's the difference?
Mm-hmm. It depends what you're trying to do. So there's different types of apps that are available. There are those apps that are the business, such as Uber, where people will pay for that, or a fitness app, where people are actually making in-app purchases, and they're using it as their business. And then there's the app that's a functioning app within a business. For example, we just built a routing app for a landscaper, and they get to go and manage all the routes. It's not a public app. It's not one that can be used, that anybody can go onto the app stores and download. And now they can control how the route is for the day. And the people can use this to operate their business. Even the guys, when they go out to cut the grass, they can leave comments, read the notes, send a photo. So it's an app that works within the business. And then there's an app that showcases your business. So say you're a bakery. One of my bakeries, Jen's Sweet Treats, which is a little bakery in Cudahy, Wisconsin, she uses it for her events and her fundraisings and her loyalty program and things of that nature. So people can go on there and they can ask for a flavor list or schedule a tasting, because she does a lot of weddings. And then we have like another one that's a bar. And this little bar, oh my gosh, I'm blown away. They have raised their revenue by 30% just from their mobile app in a little local tavern. Yeah, it blows me away. He uses it for his dart league statistics, and he does his loyalty, and where people can just buy their drinks, and you know, he keeps track of that. Directions to find him, one touch calling, what's happening in the bar. It's amazing. And I'm so blown away how loyalty programs have become so popular. I was actually watching TV the other day, and McDonald's now has a loyalty program.
Really?
You buy 5 coffees, you get the 6th one free. Excuse me. Yeah.
Mm.
I know. Blew my mind. I
go ahead. Take your time. Catch your breath. Yeah.
They,
is really, that's really great, because, you know, you look at big companies like the Starbucks and things like that always have these loyalty reward programs. And that's something that really entices a customer and entices a client, because they want some ROI. They don't want to keep just dishing out. They want to let you know that they want to be valued, that they want to be appreciated. So that is great. When you create these applications, you work with the client and you ask them what component, and I mean you've just given us a laundry list, but you ask them what components they want. What is like a price point? I know everyone is different and I know it's hard to quote prices, but a small to mid-range business that wants to add this as a value add to their business, what are we looking at in terms of cost?
You know, I'm really glad you asked because that is part of how I got into this. I was sitting in a coffee shop one day. This is my why I do what I do. And I heard these two guys talking, and they're a big, huge Fortune 300 company. And all I heard them say was, don't worry about the competition, the little guy. We can crush him. We have more money than God. And I remember how that company started was just a little 400-square-foot office where they were there to take care of the farmers. They had a niche. And so I know the founder of that company is rolling over in their grave. And I went, how can I come up with something that the little guy can compete? And that's what we've done with mobile apps. Our customary mobile app, and I would say probably 80% of the apps that we do can fall in the range of a development fee of right around $3,500 to $5,000, probably closer to the five. But that's right in that range just for a one-time development fee. And then it's just a monthly subscription after that, just like you would with your QuickBooks or your any of your other softwares that you use online, just your monthly type subscription.
So you have this on your server, and you are able to maintain it from your server, correct?
Correct. And then we give them logins so that they can see it and they can take care of it. And, you know, we work with them. We help them promote how they're going to promote their app. And that subscription typically starts about $150. Again, it depends how many locations, users, et cetera. But right about that, and that is so affordable. And
that ROI is affordable. Yeah.
It's amazing. It is just amazing, the ROI. Jen doesn't have to sell too many wedding cakes to make that work for her.
Right.
You know, the bar hosts one big event for the week. They're done. Mm-hmm.
That's awesome, Sauce. That is really good. You also work with the design of the graphics and everything that's going on. Are the clients able to go in and, you know, they might want to upload a few images. Do they need to go directly to you to navigate that, or they have access to navigate themselves? Well, you got to be careful too, because if you're not app savvy, you could jack it up.
Yeah, you can actually do both, and actually there's nothing you do that are going to jack it up. Okay, I mean, I have clients who have tried to upload images and it's not working, and then they let me know and we take care of it. But we teach the clients how to maintain the app, and then anything that they need us to do, we're more than happy to. In fact, it depends. We have different levels of services that we'll offer. If somebody wants us just to manage their entire app for them, is obviously, you know, an upcharge on our services, but we will do that for them. The biggest key on all of this, whether it's Facebook, websites, and app, is to make sure that your brand is the same all the way through.
Right.
But a mobile app is very, very precious. And the reason why the ROIs are so high on this is because you are having your customer, your ideal audience, is giving you real estate on their phone. And they're saying, please talk to me. Please, please, please talk to me. And with an app, you don't get spammed and hacked, and it's on a private server, and it's a private software, and you can actually control the content in there. And they're not easily hacked like some servers are. And so
right.
there's a lot of security with it. But, boy, I tell you, there's nothing like – yeah, exactly.
That's good to know because, you know, people are using these applications and they're putting their credit card information, they're putting their client's credit card information. Let me ask you another question. Are your apps connected like with the function with the Siri? I can't stand that thing. I was in the kitchen the other day doing something and it asked me a question. I was a nervous wreck. I didn't even know it was connected. So is there artificial intelligence and also GPS functions inside of your applications?
Yes, you can have whatever you want. I'll be honest, a lot of my clients do not do the Siri feature that we can put on there. GPS, yes, that's definite. And we're very protective of what we do. I don't recommend to my clients to have the GPS location of finding their clients, you know, that where I've already had it where I've walked past a business that I don't even do business with, and a message pops up on my phone that says, stop in for a cocktail. And it's like, who are you and why are you on my phone? So I don't encourage those because that's just, it's scary. But as far as the other features, you can have just about any feature you want. And that's why I hold conversations with people, because a lot of times people, they have an app idea, but then they don't know what to do with it and they don't know where to go. So I've kind of turned into a consultant where I'll talk to people and I'll hear your idea and we'll figure it out. But we can customize just about any feature that you want. The question comes into play, does your client really want that feature? Is there really a need? And those are conversations we have.
Yeah, it's a difference between a need and a want, you know, because we want all the bells and whistles, but is that really going to be utilized by your client? You create a blueprint. Brilliance, breakthrough for the small business owner, fresh perspective on profitability, people, productivity, and finding peace in your business. That's your book. Tell us about that.
That is. Yes, I am one of the authors in that compilation. Maggie Mongang is the compiler on that one, and she reached out one day and said, do you, you know, want to participate? And I had so much to share, I had to do it. And my chapter actually goes through more about just being in business, not so much about an app. An app is a great thing, and it's a wonderful tool to have. But my talk's about seeking counsel instead of getting just, you know, your friends and family's advice. You want to kind of live those types of things and to speak authentically and be authentic. And that's what my chapter goes through, is it gives that business owner permission to be themselves and not their competition.
Right. Because they're always trying to compete. And I tell people, stay in your own lane. There is plenty of room in the highway. Competition breeds reward, really. People want choices. They want options. You can't do what somebody else does. Life is a smorgasbord. You know, everybody's not going to have the same thing on their plate. So learn to show up authentic and to be able to diversify, to appreciate others, to share information. All of that is great in business, Brains. Don't be intimidated by that. So tell my Brains how they can get in contact with you if they want to purchase a mobile app, they want to purchase the book, or they want to have a consultation, Nancy.
Okay. The best way to reach me is at my website, The App Mama. That's theappmama.com. And I have a free gift out there for everybody.
Ooh.
It is your mobile apps marketing secret. So once you download that, then you will be given an opportunity to actually schedule an appointment with me. So even if you don't have an app idea, I encourage you to go out to the site and download that report itself. And then you'll be able to get a hold of me at that time. If you also want more information, the app for the book is Brilliant Biz Book. That's exactly how you would search it in the different app stores. Of course, our book has an app, right? I wouldn't be part of it if we didn't.
That's
so that is actually the easiest way to get a hold of me. And then from there, you know, you have my free gift and let's have a conversation. I am more than happy to spend 30 minutes on the phone with anybody just to hear what their ideas, and especially if you think you want an app, that's great. If you're on the fence, let's hold that conversation. I'll tell you straight out if an app is for your business or not. I'm going to tell you right now, not every business should have a mobile app. You have to give people a reason to have it on their phone. So the best way for me to help you determine that is to actually have a conversation with me.
Well, a conversation is what we've had, Nancy Lucchese. Did I say it right?
Yay, you got it.
Oh, I love you so much. Thank you so much for investing in coming in and talking to my Brains on the Edge. I love a woman in the tech space, big, brainy, smart. Brains, I need you to go back, listen to other edgy conversations here on Blog Talk Radio. We've got some other inventors. Yes, we do have inventors here on the edge. We got a plethora of information and resources. I thank you so much, Nancy, for coming here. Keep us informed, and I'm going to have a sidebar conversation with you. I don't know how a podcast would be good in the app world, but I'm going to let you talk me through it, okay?
You got it. Thank you very much, April. I appreciate your time today.
All right, Brains. Have an amazing day. I love you. Mwah. Bye.